this week. Just came by the church here, and I stood up here, and I wondered how it would feel to stand up here with other people. And it's a little bit different, but it's okay. So I'd like to share a little bit with you what God placed in my heart, and just my prayer, I guess, today is that God would speak directly to your heart, wherever you're at, whatever you need. That's what I want to share with you. So God started laying this question on my heart in preparation of going to Africa for a few months. And by the way, thank you for your prayers and support and the warm welcome that I received when I come back. Appreciate that a lot. It means a lot. So as I was preparing to go, I was reading some books, and one of the things, I guess, that God just pushed on my heart was, especially through the story of Jim Elliot, one of the heroes of the faith, he was asking me, are you willing to die for me? Are you willing to actually give your life for me? Are you willing to die for the one who gave his life for you? And I kind of pushed it off because I was thinking, well, maybe I'm just thinking too radical here. I'm going to Africa. Where I'm going, it's not really a super dangerous place. But the question continued to come back, are you willing to die for me? And so in the story of Jim Elliot, his famous quote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And he lived that out. He gave his life for the people that he was reaching out to. And the question just kept coming. And by God's grace, I didn't die. I came back alive, as you can see. So praise God for that. But the question actually still lingers in my mind. Am I willing to actually go all the way and give my life completely for him? Am I willing to be a martyr for Christ? Am I willing, in smaller ways, to be a martyr for Christ? It can go very deep into our hearts. Are we willing to die? Are we willing to give up our preferences for Christ? So a few things I want to just look at today. One, is there a good reason to fear death? Two, what does Jesus, Paul, and other heroes of the faith think, or what's their view on death? And finally, could it be that death, whether death to the flesh or death as a martyr, actually brings abundance of life? So we're going to look into that a little bit. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 4. We'll read a little bit from there. So, FYI, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 is kind of where Paul explains his mission and why he does what he does. I would like to read the whole thing, but let's start with 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. I'll just read to the end of the chapter there. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves the bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine in darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that God who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise you up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here, Paul's kind of painting a picture of a certain element of death that needs to happen in order that there might be life brought to others and that there might be life brought to ourselves for eternity. So let's just read through those few verses again. I'm going to read in the NLT version. And I'm just going to point out a few. I guess I'm going to skim over and just read the parts that's talking about us dying. First I'm going to read the benefits, what God is going to do in our lives here and also what he's going to do in eternity. So we'll start again in verse 8, reading from the NLT. And I'm just going to pick out parts here. We are not crushed. We are not driven to despair. Verse 9. God, we are never abandoned by God. We are not destroyed. 10. We die so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Verse 11. We die so that the life, again, will be evident in our dying bodies. Verse 12, but this death has resulted in eternal life for you. So those are some of the things that are promises that God has offered to, well, I guess promises to be with us here on earth. And then also the last one, in verse 12, it says, but this death has resulted in eternal life for you. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, Paul is saying, what is our reward? What is our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord and Savior? So in this passage, verse 12, so death is working in us, but life in you. And Paul in Thessalonians says that you are our reward when we stand before God. So he's making an investment here. But this investment calls for sacrifice. So what is the sacrifice? Here again, starting in verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles. We are perplexed. Verse 9. We are hunted down. We get knocked down. Verse 10. Through suffering, our body continues to share the death of Jesus. Verse 11. Yes. We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. Verse 12. So we live in the face of death. So I like to see this as an investment. And what I want to do, and I think that's what Paul is doing here, he's painting a picture and he's wanting us to see the reality of the eternal perspective. He says in verse 18, we look at the things that are not seen. So it's easy for us to sometimes just look at what's seen and we can become discouraged or we can lose heart. But let's see what Paul says about that. He says it's totally worth it. In verse 16, he says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory which vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that we cannot see. For the things which we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So according to Paul, it seems like he has counted the cost of what it takes to follow Christ. He knows that, well, he more than anyone, thinking of his life, being shipwrecked, being beaten, being imprisoned, and yet he still rejoices in God, and he says it's all worth it because he had a vision for eternity. He understood that he needs to suffer now, but it's all worth it because it's for the name of Christ. And I think he also realized what Christ had done for him, and that Christ had first given his life for us. So Paul says in Romans 8:18, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory which he will reveal in us later. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory which he will reveal in us later. All right. Before we move on, there's a few verses here that compare our sufferings to the sufferings of Christ. I think I'll just point that out a little bit. It says, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So there's this continual comparison between Jesus' death and how he lived and how we're called to live on earth. So what does Jesus say about, what's Jesus' view on death? What does he think about it? There are a lot of verses I could go to, but let's turn to John 12, 23. John 12, we'll start in verse 23. This was kind of a new thought. I never really looked at the context of where these verses come from. Verse 23. Jesus replied, now the time has come that the Son of Man may enter into his glory. So this is right after Jesus rode on the, I think the road to Jerusalem, and they were laying down palm branches before him. So he was glorified by the people that welcomed him into the city. But now, this is after he was anointed at Bethany, and now he's, I believe it's 5 days before his death, that he says this. He says, now the time has come that the Son of Man may enter into his glory. I just want you to think about that. He's about to enter into, he's about to be handed over to his tormentors and be nailed to a cross. And he knew what was before him, and he says, I'm about to enter into my glory. All right, verse 24. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their lives in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servant must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. So there's this principle that Jesus brings out to us. He uses the analogy of a seed going to the ground and dying. And One kernel of wheat does not just produce another kernel of wheat. But it says here, a plentiful harvest of new lives. So one person that chooses to give their life in service or for the name of Jesus, they can produce life in many others. And in that way, we propagate life. We bring more life to others by our one sacrifice. And I believe it can be compared to Jesus when he died. He suffered, but he brought life to many. And then verse 27, Jesus says, "But now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason that I came into the world." Why have we come into the world? Jesus was facing death, and he realized that this is the reason why he came. He came to bring life to others. He came to redeem and to sacrifice that others may have life. Is there a calling similar to that on our lives? Are we to sacrifice? Are we to give up our own lives, our own preferences, our own comforts for the sake of others? I think it's very glorious to see that Jesus did this and he brought so much life. That's the power of the gospel, is the resurrection, which only was possible by his death. All right. So I believe that the message Jesus is giving here is a message of life. Even though there's sacrifice involved, it ultimately brings life. Like any other investment, there's a time. If you invest in stocks, you don't have the money that you can use. You're giving it away in order that you can gain more later. And so let's not be surprised when there is an aspect of suffering. I believe that, yes, God gives us many blessings here on earth, and he wants to bless us. He wants to give us an abundant life here. Eternity does begin here. But let's not be surprised when we face trials, because like it says in Timothy, everyone who follows Jesus will suffer persecution. And I just want us to be ready for that. If or when that comes, that we're not surprised that, oh, we have to suffer now. Right. When we said yes to Jesus, we said yes to following his way. And we know that his way brought him to the cross. But also, his way brought himself to be the one that is above every name, and that all will bow to him. So his way is a glorious way, although it is at times a way of suffering. Okay, self-preservation is sort of like a muscle that works against us. We can have a bit of a mindset that we want to preserve ourselves, we want to protect ourselves, we don't want to risk our life. It sort of works against us. In the book Total War, there's a quote that says, "To be self-seeking is to be self-destroying." To be self-seeking is to be self-destroying. You may not be called to go to a dangerous country. And I understand we're not all called to do that. But are you willing? Am I willing to actually go to a place where my life is in danger for Christ? We're not facing that right here. Maybe someday we will. Another quote from Total War says, "Only those willing to go are worthy to stay." What do you think about that? Is that accurate? Are we worthy to stay in a country of safety if we're not even willing to go where Jesus calls us to go? I believe that's true. See, I don't know my call. I don't know where God will lead me, but I want to be willing to go wherever he takes me, because if I follow him, then he can fulfill his plan for me. And he has a much better idea of how to live than I do. It's going to work out much better if I surrender to him completely. So, yeah. In conclusion, a couple questions that I continue to ask myself. Am I dead to self and alive to Christ? Am I willing to be a martyr for Christ? Am I willing to do that? Now, I don't think we need to answer those questions. They may be difficult questions to answer. But if we allow those questions to enter our mind, and we accept the reality that Christians are dying every day for their faith in countries around the world. Earlier this month, there were 3 Christian converts from a Muslim tribe that were murdered for their faith in the same time that I was in Ghana, in Nigeria, I believe. And if you watch the news, it's happening all the time. But for me, it seems like it's so far away because I'm not facing that. Are we willing to be sold up for Christ? Are we willing to give our lives for Christ? So yeah, as God shows you the answer and helps you process that question, let's just continue to lay down our lives in small ways that we know we can, the commandments that we know we can obey here. And in my life personally, God has shown me things that I need to change, that I need to lay down right here. And there's a concept that anyone's willing to die on a hill for the name of Christ. But it's sometimes the things that are deep in our hearts or the relationships that we face where it's more difficult and it's not seen. But those are just as much our call as giving our life in some foreign country. Let me close with a couple verses from Mark chapter 8. Then, calling the crowds to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to follow me, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it." All right, may God bless you, and may God complete the work that he wants to do in each one of our hearts. I just pray that these words can speak to you. But if you give up your life for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. May God bless you.